Stephen, good evening. I ask you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 25 tonight, 2 Chronicles 25. It's in the book of 2 Chronicles, or 1 and 2 Chronicles actually. Look at them together. They cover for us the reigns of Solomon and then the kings of Judah. Where in the book of 1 and 2 Kings we see parallel accounts of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. Running side by side. Here we just see in 2 Chronicles the kings of Judah. And chapter 25 is covered the reign of Amaziah. He was the great, 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 great grandson of David. Seven greats. Make sure I got those right. And we will start in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Down to verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, according to their fathers' houses throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them to be 300,000 choice men, able to go to war, who could handle spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him, saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone, be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give you much more than this. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. Therefore their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. And we will stop our reading at that point. We might make some comments beyond that at some point, but our background here regards Judah, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, which are specifically mentioned in verse 5. And we also notice Israel, which is referred to several times as Ephraim, one of the tribes, often was mentioned to represent those 10 tribes that broke off from Jerusalem, from the southern tribes. And then we have Edom, or Seir, mentioned. Mount Seir is in Edom. And Edom, the descendants of Esau, they had been under the thumb of Judah, but had pushed back and rebelled during Amaziah's great-grandfather's reign, the reign of Jehoram. And so Amaziah, in his reign, he determines that I'm going to go back and I'm going to put Edom back in their place under tribute. They would, when they were under tribute, then they would have to pay a ransom, as it were, every year for protection from the country that was over them. So he said, we're going to go back in, and that's our strategy. He took a census of his own army, and he had 300,000 chosen and capable men. Seemed like a good fighting force, but he felt like he needed to increase that. And so he went to those 10 northern tribes, and he hired 100,000 valiant warriors from Israel. And to do that, it cost him 100 talents of silver, a talent of silver being about 75 pounds, so about 7,500 pounds of silver. More than likely, that money went to the king, and the soldiers, their income was going to come from the spoils of war. That was their motivation, to be good soldiers. That would be their compensation. So as he makes these plans, we read there in verse 7 that a man of God, and I'm assuming that man of God was sent by God. I think we have reason to assume that. And he comes and he warns Amaziah He doesn't say don't go to war, but he says don't use the soldiers from Israel because God is not with them. They are following idols. God is not going to honor what they're doing. And if you take them into war with you, God is going to defeat you. He has power to give you victory. He has power to take victory away. So Amaziah in verse 9, and verse 9 is what I really want us to look at tonight. Amaziah has a question. It's a very practical, logical question. And you see it there. Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do about the 100 talents which I've given to the troops of Israel?" In other words, okay, I see what you're saying, and I believe you're a man of God, and I see we need to send these people home, but I've already invested 7,500 pounds of silver. I mean, I've already made that. I've already made the payment. So if they don't help us, I'm like out all this silver. You know, that's a lot of silver. So what are we going to do about that? That doesn't seem like a logical, wise move. Well, the man of God's response is also found there in verse 9. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. And that's what I want to title our time tonight, Much More Than This. And what we want to do is to make application to us today of Amaziah's question and then the response of the man of God. So first, Amaziah's question, applying that to us, what should we do about the 100 talents? What do we do about the 7,500 pounds of silver? So here's the picture. We're going along with life. We're living life wherever we are, some younger, some older, some in between. But we're going along in life, and then God's Word confronts us. It may be a man of God opening the Word of God. It may be a man of God who has written the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit takes that and brings it to us as we're reading it alone. It may be a woman of God who is sharing with you, but for whatever way it comes to you, you're confronted with the Word of God, and it regards an area or an issue in your life where you're being warned. And you hadn't thought about it before. In fact, you thought you were doing okay and you were doing the right thing, just like Amaziah. I mean, he's trying to be wise. I got 300,000 men, but another 100,000, I think we can take those Edomites and we can start getting that tribute money back like we need. And so you have the Word of God come to you, and then you begin to reflect seriously about what God is saying to you. You take it to heart and you begin to think about that. God's warning to you, what He's telling you you need to do or what you need to stop doing. And you know that it's right to obey Him, but you have a legitimate question. What about the blank that I have already invested in this? You know, I'm kind of going this direction with my life and things are kind of moving along and I've got this relationship, and I've got this job, and I've got this ministry, and I've kind of got my daily routine, and it's kind of going along. Now, what about all that I have invested in that? Because you see, if I do what it seems that God is telling me to do, then it's like I'm going to throw all that away, or I'm going to throw part of it away anyway. So what about that? It doesn't seem like good stewardship to throw all that away that I've invested in getting my life to the point where it is right now. I can't understand doing that. And so we got the question. Let me just share, first of all, maybe some potential examples of things that we could be confronted with. I received an email or a text, I think maybe it was, from Family Life, and it regarded a 30-day oneness challenge for the month of September. And all you did, you text 85005, and you just text the word oneness. And what they do every day during September, they send you an encouragement to pray with your spouse. That's what it's all about. So let's say that that's it, praying with your spouse. Now, if you're married, I don't think you're going to have an argument with me that you should be praying with your spouse. You know, that's true. I know I need to do that. But, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of years in this relationship, and things are pretty, you know, comfortable where they are. And I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life. And, you know, I mean, am I just supposed to throw all that away and invest that in praying with my spouse? Maybe I'm challenged from the Scripture, maybe even as we've looked in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, maybe I'm challenged to give more. Well, if I give more, Lord, I've invested a lot over here. Are you telling me to just, like, forget that? To cut that off? For wives, you may be really hit right square between the eyes to submit to your husband. You know that part, but as unto the Lord. And you say, whoa, as unto the Lord? That kind of puts a different spin on it. But you know, I've already invested all of this, and we're pretty set in the way we're doing. And if I do that, I might be giving up a lot that I feel like I've gained in my relationship. Or husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Lord, I've got a lot invested here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I'm not looking at you, Joseph, because you're on your own now. All right? In the Lord. Okay? But this is right. Maybe a challenge to be more involved in gospel outreach. We prayed about that tonight. As Ronnie shared Sunday night and has shared in several messages, to commit yourself more to the meetings of the assembly. Maybe to spend daily time in the Word of God, or to disciple or mentor a younger believer. Maybe the Lord is striking you about being more involved in your community, not just for community involvement's sake, but as a light, as Joseph mentioned tonight regarding his job. Maybe you're challenged to show hospitality, or to get rid of some questionable materials or media in your home. To speak out against injustices, or to show kindness to someone who has hurt you. Maybe to encourage your child to follow the Lord's leading that would take them to a faraway place. Maybe to sing a song that I don't like the style of the music. Maybe to listen to a speaker who irritates you. Maybe to encourage someone who's involved in a ministry that inconveniences you. Maybe to say, I'm sorry to an overly sensitive person. Maybe to spend time talking to someone you don't really know and that you don't really want to know. All of these things, I think we could go to the Scripture and find possibly in our own lives a challenge somewhere in there. And the question might be, well, but what about the 100 talents? What do I do about that? What do I do about all the time and the money and the opportunity and the creativity and the convenience and the relationship and the energy that I've already invested in this? I don't want to give all that up. I don't want to sacrifice that. Is it really wise to do that? You see, because some of these things, many of these things, most of these things that I mentioned, and maybe there's others that come to your mind, they may require a change in lifestyle. They might cause discomfort. They might shake up the goals that you have in your life. They might even require that you re-examine your job or your position. Might even affect a relationship. What should we do about the 100 talents that we've already spent? Surely God doesn't want us to waste that. And that was Amaziah's question. But what about the 100 talents of silver? Well, we go and now we get the answer from the man of God. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Let me give you 10 quick passages that tell us some of the things the Lord is able to do. Romans 4:21, the Lord is able to perform what He has promised. Romans 14:14, the Lord is able to make us stand when we are judged by others. Romans 16:25, the Lord is able to establish us according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The Lord is able, 2 Corinthians 9:8, to make all grace abound toward us, to provide an abundance for every good work. Ephesians 3:20, the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Philippians 3:21, the Lord is able to subdue all things to Himself, thereby transforming one day our lowly bodies. 2 Timothy 1:12, the Lord is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Hebrews 2:18, the Lord is able to aid those who were tempted. Hebrews 7:25, the Lord is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. Jude 24, the Lord is able to keep you from stumbling. And He is also able, the man of God says, and the Word of God says, to give you much more than you give up. My dad always taught me you can't outgive God. This is another example of that. But we do have to realize that, contrary to what some of the health and wealth preachers say, in line with what the Word of God says, in contrast to them, God, though He can give you much more than you give up, He doesn't always give it in the same currency in which you invested. Because some people say, well, you give $100, the Lord's going to at least give you $101, okay? You know, probably $500. He can give you much more than what you give up, but it may not be in the same currency. You see, Amaziah, he discharged the troops, he strengthened himself, he led his people, and he defeated Edom. We never read in the Scripture, and I don't know, maybe Amaziah did get more than 100 talents of silver, but we don't see that in the Scripture. But we do read of his great victory over Edom. It comes back to faith. I believe God. I invest with God. You likely have heard the famous quote by Martin Luther. It goes something like this, one of his famous quotes. I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to get it all done. And we would say, well, Lord, you know, I've got all these things I need to do for You. Lord, I won't be able to pray as much today as I usually do because I got too much to do. No, Martin Luther said, well, I got all this to do. I got to pray more if I'm going to get that done. That's faith. You see, that's believing that God is able to give you much more than this. If I give up that time in prayer, and it was so ironic, you know, I've got the funeral tomorrow. I'm speaking the night and the day I was studying, and I thought, I don't have time to pray. You know, I got to get ready. And I said, what am I saying? What am I saying? What am I thinking? You know, prayer, that is the work, right? That is the work. That's one example. To trust Him to give you much more than this. The Hebrew word that's translated much more means much more. It means increase greatly. It's used in Psalm 18:35. David says to the Lord, Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. It's made me much more. He also prayed in Psalm 51:2, wash me thoroughly. Wash me much more from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In Psalm 130 and verse 7, we read that with the Lord there is mercy and with Him is abundant redemption. Much more He can redeem. Isaiah 55:7, we read of our God that He will abundantly pardon. He will pardon much more. And very quickly as we close, just thinking about that little phrase, much more, in the New Testament. In Matthew 7:11, we read that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Much more. Luke 12:28, if He clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? Romans 5:9 and 10, much more then, having been now justified by His blood, we will be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Romans 5:15, the free gift that we have. If by one man's offense, Adam, many died, much more, the grace of God. And the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. I'm going to have to skip some of these, but quickly. 1 Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes might be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to close. Just turn over quickly to Philippians chapter 3. You know these verses, but we'll close with this as Paul talks about losing, talks about what he's given up. And he knew the lesson that the man of God had taught Amaziah that, you know, hey, I am giving up a lot to follow the Lord Jesus fully. I am giving up a lot. It is costing me. Maybe it will look like it's being wasted, definitely to the world and maybe to a lot of believers. But, you know, I believe that God is able to give me much more. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. He said, I counted them loss. I let them go. I gave them up. What about the 10? What about the 100 talents? Let them go. Let them go. It's not worth it. You don't let anything get in the way of you obeying God. That's the bottom line. If God says do it, don't let 100 talents that you've already invested get in the way. No, you cut it off. You let it go. You count it lost. Say, hey, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. I wish I had it back, but I can't get it back, so I'm just going to go forward for the Lord. And I encourage you, don't think twice about what it's costing you to be obedient. Don't think twice. When the Lord says do it, you just remember He's able to give you much more, and you go with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your grace. Lord, just what You do in our lives, how You're so abundant in the way that You pour out Your gifts to us, Your goodness to us, particularly the spiritual blessings, Lord, and we want them to be priority in our minds and hearts. We want to value them most greatly. Help us to be obedient. Lord, we confess that it's difficult sometimes. We are confronted with Your Word and we want to be obedient, but Lord, there are those certain things that just are so difficult. And Father, we just ask You to help us that if You, by Your Spirit, take Your Word and convict us about something, and we know it's going to be costly, Lord, I pray that we would not think twice, that we would let go of 100 talents, and Father, we would believe that You are able to give us much more. Might we trust You to give it to us in the right currency at the right time, even if it's not till we get to heaven and we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to be good. We want to be faithful. We thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord encourage you.